began turning that way. Teach my people how to walk in covenant relationship with me. That is a mandate that I received from the Lord in November, that I just felt impressed of the Lord. Teach my people how to walk in covenant relationship with me. And so it's that message, that mandate, that's the driving force behind the message that I have from the Lord today. Through His prompting, we've been looking at the churches of Revelation, His message to those churches. And throughout this study, we have seen the resurrected Jesus actively engaged, fully aware of what is taking place in His church. Now, in today's culture, church is known as a building at a certain location, but friends, we are the church. Amen. Church is not just a building. It's not a location. It's not a sign. It's not a marquee. It's not a mission statement. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. While we may meet at different places, while we may have a various interpretation of Scripture on different issues, we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I could leave you with anything this morning, it would be the idea that Jesus is walking among the candlesticks. The imagery that John the Revelator saw in the first chapter of Revelation when he heard the voice of the Master, and he turned and he saw Jesus in all of His splendor and glory, and He was standing among the candlesticks, and Jesus said, "These are my churches." And then He gave a message. "I want you to speak this to my church. I'm convinced that His eye is on what we do right now. I am thoroughly convinced that the resurrected Jesus' watchful eye is on the stewardship of what we do with His word. I'm convinced that His watchful eye is on how we are handling this good news of His redemption." Throughout this study, it's been glaringly obvious that Jesus expected a repentance, a shift in direction from those who were walking in error. But as is the case in this morning's message, His watchful eye is on the faithful. The church in Philadelphia, from Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, is known as the faithful church. And as I prepared this message, I was reminded of how we started this. And I felt prompted to go back and reemphasize what God's blessing and God's favor really looks like. From Deuteronomy chapter 28, the words of the Lord through the prophet Moses. Verse 1, chapter 28, are you there? "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God." Now I want you to key in on this. Key in on these first two verses. "If you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Now we're going to read a little bit more from that, but please hear me out. We are children of Abraham. This was a promise. This was God's covenant with the children of Abraham. And this is what he said. I will bless you if you obey my voice and follow my commands. According to the Apostle Paul in his writings, we are children of Abraham. Romans chapter 8, 9, 10. And from the book of Colossians, we are the seed, the children of Abraham. These are our blessings. And this is what he said, verse 3. Blessed you will be in the city, blessed you will be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herd, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed you shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. I want you to hear that. They shall come out against you one way and flee in seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Again, notice that. Everything hinges on that. Everything that the Lord has promised hinges on us obeying the voice of the Lord your God and following his commands. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens. Now I want to pause there for a moment. Verse 12, when we get into the story of the church in Philadelphia from Revelation chapter 3, we're going to see the Lord say, behold, I set before you an open door. Look at the correlation here in chapter 12 of Deuteronomy 28. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe and obey. God's desire for his people is that we walk in his blessing and favor. I'm convinced of it. His word declares that we can be blessed people when we obey and follow his decrees. We do not refer to this book or hold this book up as the highest standard for mankind just because we need something to preach from. We hold the precepts and the commands of this word of God as the highest standard because it is God's revealed plan and purpose. And within these pages are the promises of a good God who loves us and desires good blessings, favor, his favor over our lives. He has revealed what his thoughts are. He has shown us what his expectations are. His word declares that we can be blessed and we can walk in the blessings that are listed in this book. Now, flip over to Revelation chapter 3. The words of the resurrected Jesus to the church crowd and the church at Philadelphia, which is part of modern-day Turkey today. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it." Now look at the condition over the next sentence. "For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name." If there were ever a place in the scripture where we could see the principles of, or the laws of cause and effect, it's right here. Where God says, "I see you because of who I am and because of what you have done. This is what I am going to do. I have placed before you an open door." With all the faults and all the failures that make up so many stories in the scripture, it's refreshing to find a people who stand strong in the midst of adversity. It's a breath of fresh air to hear about people who stand bold for God and let the voice of righteousness be heard loud and clear. The church crowd of Philadelphia was that kind of crowd. They had kept the word of the Lord. They had not denied the name of the Lord. They had fought very hard. In fact, Jesus said, "You have a little strength," which indicates they were in a battle-weary condition. But notice their faithfulness opened up the power of heaven. Their faithfulness opened up the door to the power of heaven. And that is the main thought for this morning's message. Obviously, they had found themselves in a battle-weary condition, but in spite of their weakened condition, they had remained faithful. They had not denied the name of the Lord. They had held fast to his word. And the Lord said, "I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it." That door, or that doorway, is access to the power of heaven. Direct access to the throne room. As I prepared this message, I was reminded of other instances where human beings were connected to the power of heaven in a supernatural way. One such instance was the prophet Daniel. When he set his heart, he was burdened over his people. And he received a visitation from the angel Gabriel. And the angel Gabriel looked at him and said, "Daniel, you are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. It has taken me 21 days to get here, because I had to fight the prince of Persia." Now, obviously, we're talking about a spiritual battle in the spiritual realm. He said, "It may have taken me 21 days to get here, but you need to hear this. From the very moment that you set your heart to hear from the Lord, I was dispatched to you. And I've been fighting, but here I am. And thus says the Lord." Isn't that awesome? The church crowd at Philadelphia's faithfulness opened the door to the blessings of heaven, the favor of heaven. The Hebrew writer said this in Hebrews chapter 4. Now therefore we can come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in our time of need. The people in the church at Philadelphia had found themselves in a place of a weakened condition. And sometimes we can find ourselves weakened and weary from the battle of life. The battle of life is a very tough battle. Living for the Lord is a very tough battle. You may have found yourself battle weary from engaging the enemy at every turn. But do not lose heart. Do not allow yourself to become discouraged. Jesus, the giver of life, knows what you are facing. His eye is on the faithful. And if he can work on anyone's behalf, he can work on your behalf. It is that mindset that gave the psalmist the inspiration to write these words. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now look at verse 9. Indeed, I will. Notice what Jesus said. Now listen. You are battle weary. You have fought the fight, and you're exhausted. But you have remained strong in your faith and the word of God. And God says, as a result, this is what I'm going to do. I will. This is God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Christians, we need to realize we are fighting a very real enemy who seeks your destruction. It's a spiritual battle that is being manifested as evil against the Word of God, against the plan of God, and as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are targets of the enemy. But we are not alone. The Lord knows what you have been fighting. The Lord knows. Now, I want you to get this. Jesus sees you. Jesus knows what you are going through. He knows your battle. He knows your struggle. He knows the enemy that you have been fighting. And he said to the church at Philadelphia, I will bring them to your feet. He told the church crowd at Philadelphia, I will fight on your behalf. Jesus said, I know all about those who claim that they are something but are not. I know all about those folks who have been causing you trouble, but I specialize in dealing with problem people. This is not a battle that you're going to have to fight all by yourself. I've got their address. I will make them do what they don't want to do. Somebody needs to hear this message this morning. You've grown tired from the constant barrage of the enemy. You wonder how much more you can take. You have been fighting at every turn, and you have found yourself in a battle-weary condition. Let me speak to your life. Do not give in. Stay faithful. You can rest assured that none of your righteous deeds have gone unnoticed by the courts of heaven. Therefore, thus says the Lord, you have access to the delivering hand of a good God. I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. You have an open door to the power of the one whose arm is not so short that it cannot save. Because you have stood faithful and strong, you have full access to Jehovah Nissi, the Lord God, our mighty conquering King. Because you've been faithful, because you have endured, because you have held fast and not denied my name, I will humble the proud and bring them to your feet. And they're going to know that I love you. Verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. You see, when we walk in covenant relationship with the Lord, and when we're faithful in all these areas, we have a promise from the Lord of divine protection from the hours of trial. Verse 11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Whoever overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. This is a direct reference to the eternal home that you and I have in front of us, where there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no more tears, no more death. It is open access through a door that no man can shut. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. That open door is for whosoever will. That open door gives us access to the power of heaven right here and forevermore. It's an open door of saving grace. It's an open door to the all-sufficient, all-powerful warrior God who is mighty in battle. As I prepared this message, I was reminded of the words of God to Jehoshaphat when he was faced with an insurmountable odds against an invading army. And God spoke to King Jehoshaphat and said, this is not a battle you're going to have to fight. This battle is the Lord's. In the 8:30 service, during praise and worship, sitting there just worshiping the Lord, I was reminded of another story. Hezekiah is facing the king of Assyria, is seeking to invade Jerusalem. Hezekiah was a king who lived it right, ushered in reforms, and he prayed. He humbled himself before the Lord. And the prophet Isaiah spoke to King Hezekiah and said, listen, King Hezekiah, don't you worry about Sennacherib. He's not even going to so much as shoot an arrow into this place. And the Lord dispatched an angel of the Lord that slew 180,000 of the Assyrian warriors. Tell me that our God is not a mighty in battle God. Elisha was surrounded by the kings of Aram. Elisha's servant just knew that this was the end of their life. And Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes to see that those that are with us are way more than them. And immediately Elisha's servant's eyes were open, and he saw the hills were full of chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. You may have found yourself in a very weakened condition. You may have found yourself weary and battle-worn. Please let the word of God encourage you today. Let this word strengthen your faith. God sees you right where you are. This battle that you are fighting, he knows where you are. And the scripture says the eyes of the Lord are on the faithful. And his ear is attentive to their cry. Lord, I have shared what you've laid on my heart this morning. As we hear this word, Lord, I'm reminded of how amazing you are. I'm reminded of how you desire to bless us and pour out your favor over us when we remain faithful. Lord, I know that there are those here in this room who have been fighting. They have been engaged in this battle against the forces of hell, and they have found themselves wondering just how much more they could take. I pray that today they would be strengthened with the knowledge that you know exactly where they are and you know exactly what they are facing and how they have remained faithful and how they have remained strong in your word, strong in their faith. But nonetheless, they are battle weary. I pray this morning, Lord, for a season of refreshing in their soul. I'm praying for a fresh revival, a refreshing this morning in our season of special prayer. Lord, saturate them with your love, that they would know that you are smiling on them. Lord, I pray for those who may be in this place who are not walking in covenant relationship with you. Lord, there is no doubt in my mind that they are feeling the brunt and the effects of fighting this battle all alone. But Lord, let them hear this good news today. Let them hear this good news that they do not have to fight the enemy alone. Let them realize they don't have to be an island to themselves. Lord, you instituted this fraternity of believers called the church as a support group, as a support system that operates with power from on high. Lord, I pray that today men and women would be drawn to you. The Lord God who is mighty in battle, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace, Jehovah Nisi, our conquering king, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, you are El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, you are Jehovah Sabaoth, commander of the armies of heaven. Today we bow our hearts and our knees before you in this place, surrendering our lives to you. Thank you for the privilege of giving me this opportunity to speak into the lives of your people here this morning. I ask in Jesus' name. If you're not walking in covenant relationship with the Lord, there is no doubt in my mind, you have felt the effects of fighting all alone. And I encourage you this morning in this place, if you're ready to have the power of heaven, you're ready for the Lord to open that door that no man can shut and have access to the throne of grace, to have access to the power of heaven in your life, it all starts by humbling yourself and recognizing you can't do it by yourself. It all starts by surrendering yourself through the Lordship of Jesus.